Just been given 40 minutes to preach, and I've said to this man, say, hold a thumb and four fingers up when I've got 5 minutes left, and don't do it when I've just been at it 5 minutes. I've had a great time being here. David and Judy Pike are my hosts, and they're a brilliant couple. I just feel as if I've known them all my life. They're fabulous. And the Bible says our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, and then with one another. And the commonality that I have with David and Judy is because we have a commonality in Jesus. So it's brilliant to be here. Everybody says that, but it is brilliant to be here. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a parable to you. And then I'm going to preach through the parable, my style. This man's got a totally different style. That's because he's totally different. And we're all unique. Don't get into the habit of, I'd like to be like him, her. Why didn't God make me different? I wasted many years thinking that until God said, are you not satisfied with what I've done with you? When my eyes are open, I said, I'm satisfied. So just be yourself. And I'm going to ask you questions. Don't be too proud to give an answer. You may be wrong. I won't tell you. I'll be like the English. I'll just say something very nice and you think, what is he really saying to me? I'm saying that you're wrong. Right? Here's the chapter. It's Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. Ready? You can follow it on that if you like. He also said, now watch it carefully because I'm going to ask you to work this with me. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man, listen, you better be politically correct here, a man stroke woman, just in case you girls get me for it. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now there it is. I'd like you to join with me. I'll ask you, and all you're going to do is hold up your hand, and if I can't hear you, I'll walk towards you, because my hearing is not what it used to be. Right, here's the first question. Definition of a parable. Come on, quickly, don't waste my preaching time.
Story.
Say it again. Who said that? What language are you speaking? Sorry, I didn't see you. And oh, dear me, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Those of us who had the privilege of going to Sunday school, some of you youngsters didn't. Hey, by the way, you offended me. You said, I'm so glad there's so many young people. Well, I want to make a strike for the elderly. I'm so glad there are so many older people in this church. Yes, I'm not fighting you, but I thought I couldn't let you get away with that one. Right, okay, earthly story with heavenly meaning. Right, now, there are truths in this parable. In fact, I better give you a clue. There are kingdom of God truths in this parable. What's the first truth you see in verse 1? Don't go in, verse 1 meaning verse 26. Don't go into verse 27 because you'll go to the back of the class. What's the first truth you see in it? Sir, start at the beginning. Use your mind. I can say that to a youngster like you. You look a clever clog. Come on.
He, Jesus, also said.
Stop. He. Right? He, Jesus. You're not listening to my words. You're listening to the words of Jesus. He. What's the next truth? No. Come on. What's the next truth? Also, There's a television program of yesteryear, and the guy used to say what you see. What was that television program? Catch it. I never watched it. My wife used to, and I only ever read the Bible, but I remember it. Right, okay. All right, listen, he also said, now, this tells us that this isn't a total statement of the kingdom of God. It's a small statement, but a powerful statement of the kingdom of God. He had said things before. He was going to say things after. Jesus also said. You know what said means? He spoke. And we're listening to the speaking of Jesus. By the way, the Bible is a total revelation of God, a total revelation of Jesus. The Bible is a total revelation of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is a total revelation of human nature. If you want to know who you are, read the Bible. And soak yourself in the Bible. Say, I need to know who I am today. I need to know my identity. Then for God's sake and yours, read the Bible. It's a living revelation. Anyway, he also said. Now, Jesus said this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Tell me, what do you mean by the kingdom of God? Because you're going to be having to say this alongside people that you study alongside, you live alongside, you work with, or you're retired and you go to gyms. And what if he said, kingdom of God? Somebody said, what do you mean by the kingdom of God? Well, what do you mean by the kingdom of God? Heaven. Who said that? You, sir. Okay. Because you're younger than me, I better give you 8 out of 10. Right. Heaven. Come on. What is the kingdom of God?
Where Jesus rules and reigns,
the answer of an older, theologically minded man. What is, come on, tell us again. What's the kingdom of God? Somebody say, what's the kingdom of God? Where he lives? Where Jesus has influence? Yeah. Say it again. Somewhere. I like you, man. I'm glad you're in the front row here. Someone where we're going to eventually be going. Hey, by the way, he's talking about heaven. Are you all going to heaven? You know, some of you might be here. You think, on my own admission, I am not going to heaven. Hey, let God change your life. Repent of your sin. Receive his mercy. Mercy rewrites our lives. We can all be going to heaven. Kingdom of God. Let me save time. When I first went to Kenya, name dropping now. And when I came back, my kids were much younger. I mean, they were young. And, you know, I give them the T-shirts of big animals and the girls. And they asked me a question. They battered me with questions. They said, what's it like in Kenya, Dad? My son, what's the roads like? Did you see the soldiers? Did you see the police? You know, did you see wild animals? I saw plenty of those in church. And that's terrible. My girls and other questions. What are the girls like? What are the shoes do they wear? What's the dresses? What are the shops like? My son, what's the weather like? Did it rain? Was it hot? Just they're asking me, what was the kingdom of Kenya like? What went on? What was the atmosphere? I'm putting these words now. What's the culture? They asked it in specific, concrete terms. Listen, we're going to have a look at a little narrow version. Not narrow because it's narrow and it's wrong, but it's a much wider issue. But we're looking at just one little statement that Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So don't get me afterwards and said, you didn't mention this, you didn't mention that. Listen, if I mention everything that the kingdom of God is like, you won't even get into bed tonight, let alone home for dinner. So here it is. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Now, what's the first characteristic of the kingdom of God? What is it? Quickly. Yes, it is God, but what does it say here? This is what the kingdom of God is like. Say what you see. Pardon? No. Start at the beginning. What do you see there? I'm training you to read the Bible. A man, stroke a woman. Listen, the kingdom of God, listen carefully. is not corporate initially. It's not the church corporate. The kingdom of God is made up of individuals. Individuals who are regenerated by God, born again through the Spirit, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. These are Bible expressions, but they are meant to be not simply expressions, but they're meant to be things that we experience. The kingdom of God is made up of people who know God. That's what Jesus is saying. I want to tell you something. He said, this is what I said. By the way, the kingdom of God is even bigger than that. The kingdom of God even sucks in and embraces and blesses people who don't believe in God. But park that for a minute. This is what the kingdom of God is like. An individual. Think individual before you think corporate. Because God deals with individuals. And Jesus died for individuals. And the Holy Spirit is available to individuals. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's something missing in you. Because the kingdom of God is about individuals who are in contact with an almighty God. What's the next characteristic of the kingdom? Who said that? Yes, it is seed, but there's another little word before that, sir. Better call you, sir. What is it? Scatters. Now listen, that's important. The kingdom of God is made up of people who scatter, who are givers, who are outward looking, who reach out. If you're in the kingdom of God, but you are like this, nobody ever speaks to me, I think, what on earth are you up to? Don't you know what the kingdom of God is like? Nobody talks to me in this church. Well, they're not meant to talk to you in this church. You were meant to talk to them. Because that's what the kingdom of God is like. You know, people don't come to us. Well, go to them because it's in our lifeblood. I sat in a meal last Saturday week. My brother-in-law, one of them, he's the only one left, 90 years of age. I'm sitting next to his son's wife. I didn't know her. I'm chatting to her. And I said, what do you do? Kingdom of God scatters. You can scatter by asking questions. Generally, I'm asking her. And she tells me she is a chef. And I said, what type of chef? Well, she said, I train chefs. I said, where? She goes, in Oman. I thought, great. You train chefs in Oman. Da, 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 da. She tells me more and more and more. I said, you're an amazing woman. And then I found out that she was in her second marriage. And I said, could you tell me about that? Why you got divorced? I've only met her there. She's just wide open, talks about it. And then I said to her, hey, do you think about God at all? Now, you might say you could never do that to a stranger. Well, I did. And she didn't punch me on the nose. And she said to me, yes, every day. Now, you might be tempted, liar. But I didn't. I said, that's wonderful. But I said, and then she said, but I never go to church, or hardly ever. And I pounced like a cat with a mouse. And I said, do you know, people like me, there are loads of people like me, but I'm different from them, they would blame you for that and say, you've lost touch with the church. But I want to tell you something different. The church has lost touch with you. We have. Because if we were outward looking, we'd gobble these sort of people up. And all I was doing that afternoon in chatting to her, I was gobbling it up. Nice word. She's a chef. I was gobbling. Listen, don't blame others. Reach out to them. Why? Because that's what the kingdom of God is like. Say the kingdom of God says, Jesus is saying this, the kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters. Now, don't rush into seed. The question is, how do we scatter? Come on, quickly. Because it impinges on next week. Because next week, you're talking about a Sunday for visitors. Well, every Sunday ought to be Sunday for visitors. I'm not against it. I'm just saying, lift your level. Hey, how do we scatter? Connect to people. Speak the Bible. Listen, That's a brilliant to talk to people. Do you know the funny thing? It happened here this morning. We'll have a little, a couple of minutes. I've talked to Andrew about this. It happens every church. Will you turn and talk to one another for 3 or 4 minutes? That's what you said, wasn't it? Something like that. He said it nicely. Well, when they say it in the Bracknell church, and I'm there because I don't preach in the Bracknell church because I'm retired, so when I get there, I'm in the pew. It's the church where I led. And some Charlie says that from the platform. I shout out loud, I'm not going to do it because I've already spoken to 50 people. I don't need to be asked. That's true. Do you know why? This is what the kingdom of God is like. So I don't wait. I don't need anybody to say to me, hey, turn to your neighbor. I might not like them. So I make sure I don't sit with them. I'm joking. Right. How do we scatter? Talk to people. Other ways. Show interest. Get involved. What? Ask questions. Love them. Yes. Yes. Listen. The nation, people you live alongside, they are desperate to be loved. Do you know why I know that? Because everybody is desperate to be loved. And we need to love them and reach out to them. Don't say, oh, my neighbor puts the bins out, he never speaks to me. Well, for goodness sake, speak to them. And don't say, darling, you're in your dressing gown, you look horrific in the morning, get your face on. Just say you look lovely. You can scatter. Listen, send your neighbors Christmas cards. And if they've got kids, say, you've got lovely kids. Now, if they're nasty little brats, don't tell lies. But you don't have to say, hey, you got lovely kids. And don't send them a verse of the Bible. Although, sometimes I do. By the way, I always send Christmas cards with verses of the Bible on. Take that in Jesus' name. But I just do it naturally. Well, if I don't do it, my unbelievers, neighbors, they're not going to send me Christmas cards with verses of the Bible. They send me snowmen. And I like snow, but Christmas is about Jesus. So if you send a Christmas card, buy one with a verse of the Bible. You say, they'll be embarrassed. No, they won't. This is what the kingdom of God is like. We scatter. Any other way of scattering? Oh, yes. Let me tell you some more. You can smile at people. Wave at them. I go around the Bracknell Church. I get there early just to talk to people. And it depends what class they're in. Blokes, I go, or they may need something different. I go, hello, very English. Good morning. And the women, I just pass them. Just touch them up. Hey, you guys. I'm not saying you look for a wife that way. And go. And they look up and go, no. No, but I just touch people and they look up and I go, they love it. This is what the kingdom of God's like. A man scatters. Think of the ways that you could scatter. Send emails, text messages. Hey, I saw you worshiping this morning. It was so inspirational. Be careful. You send that to a girl and say, hey, here's my telephone number. They may think the wrong thing. Anyway, doesn't matter. Waves of scattering. Right, let's go on. Another characteristic of the kingdom. Man scatters. What's the next characteristic? Seed. Tell people. You may say, what world are you living in, Benjamin? The same as you. Tell people about Jesus. Seed means the word of God. You say, that's impossible. It's not impossible. It's amazing. I'll tell you one way you can tell people about the word of God. Just talk to them. Are you pale listening to me there? I just saw a young married couple talking amongst themselves. Listen, I know who they are, Georgie and Ben. Can I just listen to me, please? I've had them all the week, and they've done it all the time. I think they're just newly married. That's the problem. Well, I do know a bit about you, don't you? You think I didn't remember that? You think I'm an old man? Oh, am I on camera here? Yes. This is dreadful. Hey, listen. What am I talking about?
See the word of God.
Thank you. Listen, talk to people as if they are Christians. Because if you don't, you create a them and us. Just talk naturally. My neighbors talk to me about all manner of evils under the sun, so I talk to them about what I'm doing. If I see them this week, they'll say, "What have you been, Ben?" I say, "I've been preaching down in Truro." And they may or may not ask me, "What have you been?" They won't ask me, "What have you been saying?" So I might just tell them. And you think, you cannot do it. Try it. I've never had anybody say to me, "Oh, for goodness sake, shut up." Right? Talk to people as if they're Christians. Think of ways. God, please show me, tell me, how can I spread the word? Now, just don't go in unannounced on people's and invade their territory. I want to tell you, if you don't repent, you're going to hell. That may be true, but don't say it that way. Give the word of God to them. Right, the seed is the word. Don't talk about yourself. Well, you can, but listen, it's more than talking about the church. It's more than talking about a great moms and toddlers group. You can say all those things, but ultimately, it's the word that saves people. You know, we're a very friendly church. That's brilliant. You need to be a friendly church. But ultimately, it's the word of God that saves people. They need to hear the word. They need to hear the word sin. They need to be lovingly confronted. You think, "Are you mad, Ben? Do you really talk like this? You ought to follow me around." Tell people. Listen, a woman came into my house. My wife's in the kitchen. She's getting us a meal. This woman is sitting at the kitchen. She's had the most amazing background, which is a euphemism for saying she's one big, beautiful-looking sinner. She's coughing it all up to me. I'm not even asking her to do it. And then she comes out with a question which utterly amazed me. She said, "Do you think God has forgiven me my sin?" You think people don't talk like that these days? Give them the opportunity, they will. Mind you, you've got to persuade them, "This guy, this woman really loves me." Because if you don't persuade people you really love them, they'll never cough up what they need to cough up, and they won't be in a position to hear what they need to hear. And I still want to tell you, I live in the same world as you and shop in the same shops and have to spend the same amount of money and walk the same streets and moan about the same weather. Listen, the kingdom of God is not made up of moaners, so don't move. Right, don't moan. Right, okay, a man scatters seed on the ground. What does the ground speak of? Come on, quickly. Pardon? Yeah, yes, you're racing ahead. You're anticipating something. Hold that for a minute. What does the ground speak of?
People.
Well, listen, if you're going to sow seeds, be in touch with people. There are too many Christians who think non-Christians are nasty little people and avoid them at all cost. Get amongst them. Not, "Hi, I'm gonna work it out. How can I befriend someone?" Listen, just be normal with them. Just be easy with them. Touch their lives. I was brought up, and I became a Christian, with a great illustration. Just have nothing to do with unbelievers, because you see, it's like a little, it's like this. You are this lovely little Christian on the table, and there's nasty little non-Christians on the floor. And if you shake hands with them, they'll pull you off the table. That's utter rubbish. Because whoever shakes my hand, he that is in me is bigger than he who's in them, and I'll whip him up on the table. True? Greater is he within you than he who's in the world. So don't be afraid of people. Touch their lives. I'm not convincing your crowd here. Right, night. Oh, what's the next characteristic? We're on to verse 27. It's going to help you in what we call evangelism, what we call reaching out, what we call being missional. Hey, come on, what's the next characteristic? Come on, you lot up there. Don't go to sleep in the upper benches there. What? Yes? What does that talk about? Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. Never stops. Be ready. Be ready. Who's your teacher in this church? Come on, come on, think your way through this. What does this tell us? Night and day, see, this is the man who scatters, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. Now, what does that suggest to us? Without man's doing, yes. We'll come on to that in a minute. What does it, well, it does suggest that, it declares that. What else does it declare?
Once he's put it out there, it does what it's supposed to
do. Okay.
No.
Just look at the text, sir. What you're saying is totally true, but just look at the text. Now, listen to this. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. You've just rushed ahead slightly. Night and day. Well, listen, you're not going to see it, so I may as well tell you. People are so thick around the... What's this? Listen to me. Listen to me. Let me just describe this. Here's a guy. He's been doing the work of scattering. It's an earthly story, a heavenly meaning. He's got people come to the guest meeting. He's got people come to the Christmas services. Or he's talked to his neighbour. Or he's met a bloke at work. And but this is a farming description. And he goes home. And he takes his boots off. Well, I think go back to the farming. Takes his boots off. And his wife gives him his supper on his lap. Pours out a glass of wine. He goes to bed. And he goes to sleep. What does that suggest to you? What? Yes, think again. What does it suggest to you?
He doesn't need to worry about the sleep.
Excellent. He doesn't need to worry about it. Listen, there's a great word about the kingdom of God, or two words, no anxiety. Because I find that people are so scared of doing things, you know, they get anxious about it. Listen, just be yourself, do your work, scatter your seed, and don't worry about it. There's such a thing in the kingdom of God as joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, I could never do that. I did it once. You see, I invited my neighbors. They haven't spoken to me since. So what? Enjoy life. Live your life. Go to bed and have a good night's sleep. Got it? Ministers have breakdowns because they get anxious. People have breakdowns because they get anxious. People won't do things because they tried it once and it didn't work. And a couple came into Bracknell. And they were new. I said, have you thought of asking, they were in a cul-de-sac, all your neighbours to a housewarming party? They thought, yes, it's excellent. So they did it. So I said, how do you get on? They said, nobody's spoken to us since. I think, oh my, just sleep on it. Don't care a rap. Because this is what the kingdom of God's like. Seriously, some of you would be so anxious about doing it, you think, listen, please don't be anxious. Can I tell you, I'm not going to be at all anxious what you think of me about this sermon. I'm not because I'm the best preacher around. I am most definitely not. It worries me that whenever I hear preachers, I think, God, why didn't you make me like them? Because he said, I made you like you. But I'm telling you, I shall go back on the train. I will not think a rap about you. Under the term of anxiety, I'll think a lot about you. I'll be saying, God, get them, dig deep in them, give them more insight, bless them. I'll think all that, empower them. But I'm not going to worry about you. I don't care if you send me emails. I thought you were rubbish. Tough. I'm serious. I've learned it. I wasn't like that in the beginning. Honestly, if somebody criticized me, I shouldn't be in the ministry. I'm rubbish. I'm terrible. A woman once said to me, that's the most confusing sermon I've ever heard in my life. I believed it. It's so undermining your confidence. Now if somebody said that to me, I think, tough luck, darling. There must be something wrong with you. Right, here we go. What else? Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. What's the next thing? Come on, shout it out quickly. Doesn't matter if you're wrong. Seed grows. Here it is. The kingdom of God is a growth industry. The kingdom of God is always growing. And the church is always meant to be growing. And your personal life is always meant to be growing. Because this is what the kingdom of God is like. I'm amazed that I meet people 30 years on and they don't seem to have grown. They're still moaning. They haven't grown out of it. They still feel inferior. Think, for goodness sake, why are you still... You know, listen, if you had children and you get a little girl of 1 year and you think she's not growing, you'd be beetling off to the doctor, wouldn't you? There's something wrong here. But Christians don't grow for years and they don't seem to realize there's something wrong with me. Why? Because it is God's will that you grow. You grow in understanding. You grow in generosity. You grow in worship. You grow in relationships. Why? 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 Because this is what the kingdom of God is like. You sow seeds and it grows. There is an inevitability about growth. You can't stop it growing. Unless you live your life opposing it through unbelief. But listen, it's the kingdom of God. Church is meant to grow. You're meant to see people saved. You're meant to see people baptized in water. By the way, are you all baptized in water? If you're not, get baptized in water. That's what the kingdom of God in you is about, in part, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you a giver when it comes to money? What? Money? Don't you know the cost of living these days? And Brexit? Listen, come on. This is what the kingdom of God is like. You grow in your generosity. And, well, I'm only giving a little bit. Well, give more. Why? Well, because the leaders are always asking for it. Don't be crazy. That's not the reason. It's because there's a seed in you that's growing. And it makes you more and more generous. It's incredible. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Enjoying it, sir? Hope you're enjoying it. A prophecy. You are enjoying it. Right. Laugh at that. Night and day, where the seed gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Now, what's the next characteristic of the kingdom? Come on, it's there. Yes, give us. He does not know how. This is an incredible characteristic of the kingdom. Give us a word that describes us. One word. It's a biblical word that describes this statement. He does not know how. You can go to the Bahamas free if, just a one-way ticket, if you know the word. What is the word?
Doubting.
Pardon?
Doubting.
Doubting? Just, it's not quite the word on the card, but don't worry. Doubting. He does not know how. I can see you get doubting from. It's just not the word on the card.
Ignorance.
Just a minute. Confused?
Miraculous.
Miraculous. Who said that? You're on your way. Is that your wife next to you? Tell her you're going to the Bahamas on your own. Listen, mystery. You know, we work our lives and we work our church life as if it's a natural thing. I want to tell you, mystery is a characteristic of the kingdom of God. The Bible has words like the Apostle Paul declares, great is the mystery of godliness, and great is the mystery of God. And there's another term, the mystery of the gospel. The truth is this, you say, we can, listen, I'm doing it now. I'm sharing this, I'm spreading the seed, I'm fulfilling an aspect of the kingdom of God, and the whole thing is a mystery. And you might say it is a mystery that you're in the ministry. Well, I'm going to say it's a mystery that you are here. Why? Because this is what the kingdom of God is like. I've seen people walk into my church and think, for goodness sake, look what the wind's blowing in. God says, actually, the wind of the Spirit is blowing in mine. It's a mystery. Listen, when we fulfill the kingdom of God, I mean, something happens in heaven. There is like a cataclysmic explosion in heaven that reverberates in people's hearts and minds and wills on earth. It's an amazing mystery. That's why I can be preaching with passion at the age of 79, because I'm caught up with an amazing mystery that is to do with the character and attributes of God. That's why I can go to sleep. And that's why I'm not too worried and fussed about what other people say. I'm absolutely enthralled about this. There is a mystery to God. Of course there is a mystery to God. And the big mystery is that he's deigned to live with us. He who, according to the Bible, which is his word, flung the stars into the sky and gave every one of them a name. And he says, Andrew, come in. It's time I had a relationship with you. True? It's a mystery. And you think, oh, listen, evangelism, reaching out, qualified, being missional, it's so difficult. I want to persuade you, it's not so difficult, because there is an element, a huge element, it's shot through with the mystery of God. And that's why you came to Christ. And I listen to people give testimonies. I decided for God, and that's why I'm being baptized. And I want to shout out, no, you didn't. God got you into a corner, and in his mysterious and loving mystery, he just opened your eyes and the penny dropped, and he said, I want to become a Christian. Exciting, isn't it? Shout back at me. Isn't it exciting? Yes. Dear me. Dear God. Just sort him out. Yes, he does not know how. Listen, don't even try to work God out. You can't even work yourself out. Is that true or false? You know, and we try to work other people out. You don't have a hope of working other people out. Don't think now, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to do this and God won't do that. You just don't know what God's going to do. Listen, the mystery is God comes in here before you. He comes in with you. The mystery is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're one God. Then three gods in one. But listen, you won't attain the understanding of that mentally or intellectually. You understand it because the mystery of revelation. And so when we're talking to people, keep it in mind, this is what the kingdom of God is like. There's a mystery to all that I'm doing. And God's right in the middle of it. Right? 5 minutes. Let's go. Listen, I could have had 15, but they've been slow to answer. Right. All by... See, he doesn't know how. Look at verse 28. All by itself. See, part of the mystery. I'll just be less interactive now. All by itself. Don't... Listen, no, I must tell you this story. All by itself. I had a wound and I'm still dealing with it. I've got three children. One of them is a boy. Naomi Caradog, lovely Welsh name, Rich, and Rebecca. When Caradog was about 3 and a half, I'm doing the garden. I had a vegetable garden in those days. I'd done it all, sorted out, ready to sow little seeds in it. You gardeners know how it's done. And Caradog's mithering at me. I'm thinking, just get away, get away. And my wife said, oh, let Caradog help you. And I thought, he can't help me, he's 3 and a half. Anyway, in the end, I give him a packet of seeds. And I said, you can... Well, he doesn't, like, he throws the whole content in about a foot. And he says, Dad, cover them over. So I go, I thought, they're not going to grow, but I didn't tell him that because I'm supposed to be an encouraging father. He just annoyed me. Well, a couple of days later, I've been visiting, and I come home, and I look out on the garden through my kitchen window. I go from 0 to 100 immediately. I call my wife. Not nicely, she's dead and gone now. Oh! She comes eventually. She ought to be running, because my voice is stressed. And I say, what's happened to the garden? It looks like there's a bulldozer on it. And you know how mothers are defensive of their sons? Well, I love my son, but I didn't at that moment. And she goes, well, it's Caradog. I say, what do you mean it's Caradog? I'm trying to be ever so gracious because I'm thinking the neighbours will hear me, and I'm supposed to be a preacher. And I'm saying, what is that? She said, well, he's been digging up the seeds to see if they're growing. I think, where is he? She'd sent him off to a neighbour because she knew I was coming in. Listen. See, all by itself, the soil produces grain. When you sowed your seed, just don't interfere with it. I used to interfere with it. We'd have visitors. I'd say, did you enjoy the sermon? No, I didn't. It's like digging up the seed. Listen, give it a chance. You do your work. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Yeah, we're always digging things up. How is it, you know, how are you doing? Are you enjoying the church? Leaders are like this. You know, group leaders. Did you enjoy the group meeting? If ever I went to a group meeting, don't even ask me the question. I'll tell you the truth. It's boring. There's too many distractors. Get rid of them or do something with them. But these group meetings are so unreal. Better be careful. You won't go to a group meeting again. But the issue is, don't dig up the seed. You've sown it. Let it go. Why? How do I know that? Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. All by itself, the soil produces grain. That's a miracle in itself. Listen, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the ear. What does that talk of? I'll tell you what it talks of. Process. Just don't rush the process. Let God do his work. Well, he seems to take 10 years to deal with that woman. Well, he probably took 20 years to deal with you. Yes or no? Longer. Yes. Say, but we demand, God, do it now. And God says, this isn't what the kingdom of God is like, Mr. Englishman. In Wales, they'd say, this isn't what the kingdom of God is like, boyo. The kingdom of God is like this. All by itself. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. There's other characteristics. I want to deal with one other one. Verse 29, what is it? There's two. Quickly. I'll tell you. Harvest. There's always harvest time in the kingdom of God. Just believe it. Jesus said it. That's good enough for us to believe it. You will always have a harvest in the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says you reap what you sow. There'll always be a harvest. It may take 5 years, it may take 10 years, it may take 15 years. The harvest may come after you died. You think, well, that's not fair. For goodness sake, you'll be in glory and you'll be enjoying life. But there's always harvest. Have faith. We live by faith, not sight. We don't live by faith on the watch. We don't live by faith on the calendar. We live by faith. So I'm telling you something, there's going to be a harvest as a result of my being here for 3 or 4 days. Not because Ben Davis is the greatest preacher you've ever heard, but because the Bible says so. I have sown seeds in weakness or whatever, but there will be a harvest. And that's why I shall go home on the train and probably go to sleep. But finally, what's one more characteristic in this verse? Ripeness, yes. Come on, it's... Pardon? Yes. Come on. Say a few more things. Pardon? Yes, what does that tell us? Hey, you're in the business of landscaping, aren't you? Aren't you? Right. Come on, what does that tell you? You're using a sickle. You want to use a sickle. How do you describe your work?
Cutting grass and things like that.
Yeah.
Maintaining.
Yes, but what? Anything else? Listen, two words, hard work. Life's hard work. Building a church is hard work. If you want to build anything, it's hard work. You may as well face it. You work hard. Listen, If you're sitting in front of a computer and you want to get on in life and you want to harvest, which means you want promotion, and even if you don't get promotion, the whole thing is hard work. Bringing up children is hard work. You know, there is a harvest. You know, the kids fight you when they're 10 and when they're 15. Then you see them when you're 14. You think, I hope I live long enough. I hope I live long enough to see you reaping what you sowed with me. Listen, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, bring them on. Listen, it is hard work. Just face it. Nobody really wants hard work. Words like hard work in our society are dirty words. Words like discipline are dirty words. Words like easy are words we love. But listen, the kingdom of God, even though God's a mystery, and even though God does the most incredible things, and the word supernatural is part of the kingdom of God, so is hard work. I know that because I led a church for 43 years and it was hard work. And I thank God that he gave me his Holy Spirit, that I had the energy to work hard, and I still work hard. 79? I've worked hard this weekend. I'm just be glad to go home for a rest. But by the time I get home on Tuesday, I'll just take a taxi to my house, pick up my car, and I'm going to race down to Cheltenham. And then from Cheltenham, the next day, I'm in Cardiff. And then I shall come back the day afterwards. And people say, you leave me breathless. I said, it leaves me breathless as well. But that's what the kingdom of God is like. He will give you the energy. And listen, I could talk about overcoming temptation. That's hard work as well. But I'm just on, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Hey, may I pray? If you felt something like, when he said that, I felt awful, like you may be inward looking instead of outward looking. I'm going to pray for you. God, release the inward lookers and make them outward lookers. And if you felt, ooh, I'm a miserable old so-and-so, then God, I speak over to those of you who felt convicted about that. I say, you will from now on have joy in the Holy Spirit. From now on, you will draw water from the wells with joy, from the wells of salvation. Joy shall be one of your characteristics. Some of you may be mean with your money. You're not the only one in life to be mean with your money. Father, put your hand deep into their pockets. Listen to this prayer and invade their bank balances. God, change their hearts. Do you want your heart changed? You're a bit mean with your money. You're meant to be a giver, a scatterer. God, I ask you, please do the supernatural work and change our hearts when it comes to money. And what about some of you listening? You think, hey, fella, I don't know where you live, but I don't have your experience. I'm not sure whether I'm even born again and changed. Father, I pray for any who are like that here. And I say, please do your supernatural work. Persuade them you are the answer to the deepest need. Father, I pray, persuade them that where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. Please persuade them, Lord. And those who are timid about it, please make them as bold as a lion, Father. And thank you. And I ask for the whole church that next week when it's Tri-Church Sunday, I ask that you'll give Andrew the most amazing, powerful, explosive message to bring to them. And I ask that the whole church will receive it, oh God, with such delight and affirmation that the whole church will move up grades for your glory and their benefit, Lord. And for any of you who have secret addictions and you're too ashamed to even let your spouse or your partner or your friends know, I want to give you good news. God knows everything about it and he's got the answer to it. Father, I ask you, will you release the supernatural explosive power on people who have addictions and who are here right now listening to me praying, oh God, I ask you, God, deliver them in the power of Jesus' blood and the Holy Spirit I want to declare this to you. The kingdom of God has power to smash our addictions. The kingdom of God has power to persuade you there is life after death and there is forgiveness for sinners. I want to declare over you the kingdom of God, which means God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, has power to woo you into a deeper, bigger, higher, use whatever description you want, relationship of loving than you would ever thought is possible. It's because it's part of the mystery of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your living word. We thank you for your living son. We thank you for the living Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're alive. We thank you for your living people and the living church. God, my last request in this moment is this. Change Truro because of this church, Lord, and glorify your son, Jesus. I prophesy over you, Truro. You will receive life-giving words from now on in an avalanche. And your sons and daughters will come to know Almighty God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Truro, God is greater than who you are with all your history. I'm going to sit down.